The Song of Solomon, chapter 1. Verse 12. Chapter 2, verse 7. This is the word of the Lord. While the king was on his couch, my nard gave forth its fragrance. My beloved is to me a sachet of myrrh that lies between my breasts. My beloved is to me a cluster of henna blossoms in the vineyards of En-Gedi. Behold, you are beautiful, my love. Behold, you are beautiful. Your eyes are doves. Behold, you are beautiful, my beloved, truly delightful. Our couch is green. The beams of our house are cedar. Our rafters are pine. I am a rose of Sharon, a lily of the valleys. As a lily among brambles, so is my love among the young women. As an apple tree among the trees of the forest, so is my beloved among the young men. With great delight I sat in his shadow, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Sustain me with raisins, refresh me with apples, for I am sick with love. His left hand is under my head, and his right hand embraces me. I adjure you, O daughters of Jerusalem, by the gazelles or the does of the field, that you not stir up or awaken love until it pleases. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, open our hearts now to your word, that we may lay hold of the one who is love, the one who offers himself to us in these words. Grant us this grace, we pray in his name. Amen. The consummation of love is the joining of bodies and the communion of souls. And so the marriage bed is a place of both intimacy and friendship. It is a place where the two become one flesh. And here, in the Song of Songs, we see how pleasant that place may be. How pleasant it is when it is filled with love. That love is like a holy fragrance that fills the air. The woman, she is like the precious oil of nard poured forth upon her husband, anointing him with the fragrance of her love. The man is like a sachet of myrrh that lies between her breasts, adorning her with the fragrance of his love. We said before that the early church father, Cyril of Alexandria, interpreted the two breasts of the woman as the two testaments of Scripture. And the sachet of myrrh is Christ, who binds those testaments together and is their fragrance. And though we did not follow him in that interpretation, we may say something that is like it. That the two breasts of the woman, that they are two testaments. Two testaments to the love of the bridegroom that lies between them and becomes their fragrance. See his love. It is not rough or violent. His love is gentle and tender. He is like a cluster of henna blossoms in the vineyards of Engedi. He is like a cluster of blossoms in a garden. See his love. See his gentleness. See his tenderness. He does not shame his wife. He does not turn her face away from him in shame. His face beams upon her with the radiance of love, and she returns his gaze with eyes like doves, eyes full of peace. He speaks to her words of peace, and they lie down in peace. That place where they lie, it is green. It is like green pastures. And see what is built by their love. See what their love builds, a house with beams of cedar and rafters of pine. Here is a love that does not tear down, but one that builds up. And those who dwell in this house built by love, they are secure. They are safe. When there is no love between a husband and wife, the house around them, it is not strong. It is not safe. It is not secure. That house is not built up and strengthened, but weakened and torn down. It becomes a place of misery for all who dwell there. The strength of a house is built upon a husband and wife dwelling together in love. It is built upon their delighting in one another. It is built upon their enjoying one another. When we think of a house in Scripture, when we think of a household, we tend to think of one not only with husband and wife, we tend to think of one with children. But in the Song of Songs, there is no explicit mention of children. This Song of Songs, this song of love, it does not explicitly refer to foster children. And this tells us at least two things about marriage and about the intimacy of marriage. First, it tells us that children are not meant to be what holds a house together. Children are not meant to be what holds a marriage together. Rather, children are meant to be a gift that graces a house. They are meant to be a gift that graces a marriage that is held together by love, by the love that exists between husband and wife. And second, it tells us that the purpose of intimacy in marriage is not only for the bearing of children, it is also for pleasure, that we might know the intense ecstasy of love. Consider the climactic pleasure of such intimacy. In the case of the man, the climax of his pleasure, it is directly connected to the begetting of children. But in the case of the woman, it is not. The climax of her pleasure is not directly connected to the bearing of children. The purpose of her pleasure, then, it is for nothing more than pleasure itself. The man's pleasure serves another purpose, but the woman's pleasure does not. It is an end in itself. It is to be sought as an end in itself. Its purpose is purely the enjoyment of pleasure and ecstasy. But why would the Lord make it so? Why would the Lord make it so? Unless he meant for the husband to serve his wife in this way. Unless he meant for the husband to seek his wife's pleasure. Unless he meant for the husband to find his greatest joy not in his own pleasure, but in hers. The man's pleasure is easy. Ordinarily, it takes very little effort. But the same is not true for the woman. Her pleasure requires his attention and care. It requires that he cherish her. It requires that he seek her pleasure. It requires him to restrain his own pleasure until she has found it. The great and climactic joy of sexual intimacy, it is not to be found in the man's pleasure, but in the woman's. It is there especially that we find and enjoy the ecstasy of love. There, her pleasure becomes his pleasure. There, her delight becomes his delight. There, her joy becomes his joy. How easy it is for a man to seek his own satisfaction. How easy it is for him to neglect the satisfaction of his wife. But the intimacy of marriage is not for his pleasure alone. It is for hers also. To love is to serve. If the husband is to love his wife, then he is to serve her in the marriage bed. And as he serves her there, he learns how to serve her not only there, but in all things. The man who makes it his aim to serve his wife in this way, he will find in the end that he is serving joy. For there will be joy in his house. For that is what love brings. Love brings joy. Joy is the crown of love. Now, in the second chapter of the Song of Songs, the woman likens herself to a flower, to a lily of the valleys. See how easy it would be to trample upon her. See how easy it would be to mistreat her. See how easy it would be to abuse her. But here in the Song of Songs, the bridegroom does no such thing. In verses 3-6 of chapter 2, we read of the way that the bridegroom loves his bride. We read of what his love means to her. His love protects her. His love shelters her. Hear what she says in verse 3. With great delight I sat in his shadow. His presence is her comfort. His presence is her support. She finds shade in his presence from the heat of the day. She is able to rest when present with him. His presence does not cause her distress. His presence does not cause her to wilt, but to be strengthened and refreshed. To dwell under the shadow of his wing, it brings her great delight. See his love, it protects her, it shelters her. In verse 4, she says, his banner over me is love. What is this banner of love? In the Old Testament, this word for banner, it is used in only one other context. It is found in the book of Numbers. And there in the book of Numbers, we find Israel in the wilderness. And we find each of the tribes under its own banner. It is the kind of banner that would be used to march into battle. It is the kind of banner that tells us where we belong. In the Song of Songs, this banner over the woman, it is love. She dwells under the banner of the bridegroom's love. He does not go to war against her. He goes to war for her. He does not fight with her. He fights for her. His love protects her. His love shelters her. She is safe in his love. She is secure in his love. His love is her strength. his banner. It is like a garment that clothes her. This love, it is a place of shelter. But see, the love of the bridegroom is not only a place of shelter. His love does not only protect. His love also satisfies. His love also delights. A husband is not only called to protect his wife. He is not only to be a shield about her. He is also called to satisfy her. He is called to delight her. Hear what the woman says in verse 3. His fruit was sweet to my taste. He gives his love to her as food. And she finds it to be sweet. It is not harsh. It is not bitter. In verse 5, the woman finds herself sick with love. She longs for love. And the bridegroom, what does he do? He does not fail to provide. He does not neglect her, but he turns to her. He reaches for her. His left hand is under her head. His right hand embraces her. He draws near to her, and he draws her near to him. She feels the strength of his embrace, and she delights in his embrace. For he does not embrace her to use her. He does not embrace her to satisfy himself. He embraces her that he might satisfy her, that he might nourish her, that he might sustain her, that he might fill her, that he might delight her. This house to which his embrace brings her, it is not only a house of shelter, it is the house of wine. In verse 4 we read, he brought me to the banqueting house. But a more literal translation might read, he brought me to the house of wine. This house, it is a house for feasting. But it is a house especially for the drinking of wine. But here it is not wine that she drinks. Here it is his love that she drinks. It is his love that is poured forth. Remember in the first chapter what she said of his love. His love is better than wine. And so this house of wine, it is a house of love. As that love is poured forth, and as she drinks it, she is intoxicated by it. His love warms her. It fills her with delight. It brings her to joy. And so we see again this house in which they dwell together. It is a house overflowing with love. It is a house overflowing with joy. It is our goal for every marriage that it would know this love, that it would know this joy, It is our hope for every house. But we know that not every marriage enjoys this love. We know that not every house knows this joy. And even the husband that would earnestly seek it, how very often he falls short of it. But the Song of Songs, it is not given that we may despair. It is given that we may have assurance. The assurance that there is one whose love does not fall short. That there is one whose love does not fail. Whose love does not fail to protect. Whose love does not fail to satisfy. It is the love of the Lord. In Hosea chapter 14, verse 5, the Lord speaks to his people, I will be like the dew to Israel. He shall blossom like the lily. And again in verse 7, they shall return and dwell under my shadow. They shall flourish like the grain. They shall blossom like the vine. The love of the bridegroom as described in the Song of Songs. We see this love and the love of the Lord for his people. His people are like the lily of the valleys. And his love is like that dew that makes us to blossom. And as we dwell under his shadow, he makes us to flourish. He fills us with delight. He brings us to joy. Consider his love. He does not seek to be satisfied, but to satisfy. He does not seek to be served, but to serve. He needs nothing from us. And so all that he does for us, we may know, flows purely from his love. This love of the bridegroom for the bride. This love that protects her. This love that shelters her. This love that sustains her, this love that delights her, this love that satisfies her, it is the love of the Lord for his people. It is the love of Christ for the church. This house is built by his love. It is built by his love for us. It is built by his love in us. Our strength is his love. His banner over us is love. His banner is a call to love. And as we respond to that call, he brings us to the house of wine. And the cup that he gives us here is better than wine. This cup overflows with his love, with that love that flows from his side. Here he draws near to us. And he draws us near to himself. Here he embraces us in love. Here he covers us in love. Here he heals us with love. And he will not rest until we are satisfied with his love. He will not rest until we are filled with his love. He will not rest until we know the intense pleasures of his love. He will not rest until his love brings us to joy. He will not rest until we know everlasting joy. He loves us for no other purpose than this, that we might know and enjoy his love. And wonder of wonders, that he might enjoy our love. The church is the house of wine. The church is the house of his love. May this house be filled with the fragrance of his love. May you here find rest in his shadow. And may your breasts swell with delight at his presence. And may their swelling be a testament to his love. Amen.